Well, it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into the studio Edna DeVries, who's mayor of Palmer, Alaska.
Well, thank you for having me again. I always look forward to this.
You know, I've used the term mayor, and I know that listeners out there, when someone hears mayor, probably have some kind of image that pops up about what a mayor is. And we have pointed out in the past that when the mayors of the Matsu gather together, the borough mayor,
right,
you, the mayor of Wasilla, and the mayor of Houston,
right,
every one of them is not only different because you're different people,
right,
but you also have very different responsibilities, literally, and ways in which you do things.
Right. As plus the way we are elected.
Right.
You know, like the city of Houston, the mayor is elected from the council. There's
right.
not a separate ballot that the people in Houston are able to vote on for the mayor.
Right.
And then, so that's, yeah, so you're right. Not only are we have different philosophies as well as plans and policies, but just the way we are elected and the responsibilities and duties that we have that have been assigned to us by either charter or by the law.
And I notice that because I get to go to many of these different meetings, and I'm aware that if someone goes to a Palmer City Council meeting, they may notice that you do a lot of voting. You
right.
You vote.
Right.
As mayor.
That's right.
You vote.
I have that. And but, of course, the mayor from the borough does not. They have veto power, which I don't have. And, of course, in Wasilla, the mayor just sort of sits to the sidelines because they have the council runs the meeting themselves.
Right.
And
right.
so, yeah, you're right.
So I caution listeners, when we have something like a mayor term that we use, that it's important to watch how that works, because you may come away thinking, because you've been someplace, maybe you've lived in the borough, you moved to Palmer,
right,
and then you're aware of a Palmer City Council meeting,
right,
so the kinds of things that you would expect of the mayor of the borough are really not quite exactly what you can expect of the mayor of Palmer.
Right. That's right. Because now, well, we both chair the meeting.
Right.
And so we both are sitting, quote, in that chairmanship, you know, position.
Right.
And of course, you know, we now in Palmer, we are allowed to, I am as mayor, allowed to make motions or to second motions.
Right.
And of course, vote. But the mayor of the borough does not do either one of those things.
And you've had familiarity with the mayor of the borough.
Right. Position. I was mayor of the borough right in the 80s.
Right. So you're very much aware of that difference.
Right.
And I then we go to the, even though you may make a motion so on, I've noticed observing that you typically ask for a motion from a member of the council.
Right. You can correct me because I know you're there with us all of the time. But I do not think that I've, in almost a year, have made a motion.
Right. Or if you did,
or
I didn't see it.
Yeah. Or even seconded a motion. And I guess I view myself being a member of the, quote, council, and that's what our charter says, that the mayor has all the rights and duties as a council member. That I have, for myself anyway, in my leadership, have more of a team type of strategy for us and for the council. And so I want to get their input. And if I felt strongly, I guess, if something didn't come up, if I said to the council, well, what are your wishes? And everybody was silent and it was something, you know, I had a real burning desire, I probably would go ahead and make a motion. But the majority of the time, I view, well, you know, if there's not enough support on the council for someone else to make it, then, you know, maybe I need to rethink this, or maybe this issue isn't as important as what I thought it was. And so so that's good or bad. That's just my leadership style.
Well, I seem to have taken away from some trainings in how to run meetings and mm-hmm. boards and so on, and had some experience on the Metsu Borough School Board, mm-hmm. which actually the president of the school board there operates very much like the mayor of Palmer, mm-hmm. gets to vote, et cetera.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my sense about it is that one reason why people suggest that it might be a good thing for the chair who is in your position or mm-hmm. president of the school board position is that you occupy a in many ways, controlling mm-hmm. position.
Right.
You get to recognize people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful.
Right. It is. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Simultaneous, two hands go up and you mm-hmm. pick one
right.
and then the other. And but more importantly, if you set the tone by talking to the substance of an issue to begin with, then that is magnified by the fact
yeah.
that the mayor is saying.
Right. Yeah. And I guess I sense that from the public as well as even from the council,
mm-hmm.
Is that for whatever reason, the mayor has this position or spoken this way or something, almost carries a little bit more weight.
Right.
But legally, I do not. I'm just one of seven. So, you know, I can vote for something and they can outvote me, or I can vote along with the majority. So even though there seems to be that, I don't know, what do I want to say, attitude, I guess, or assumption that the mayor has spoken, it's almost, you know, like a dictator spoken.
Well,
and I try not to do that.
Because you have a kind of a duality of role. You're mm-hmm. a member of the council.
Right.
However, you are also the mayor.
I am.
Because unlike other council members, mm-hmm. You actually have an office there.
Right. I do.
And mm-hmm. When the discussions go in preparation, getting ready for meetings or the mm-hmm. in-between meetings time, although some council members may have conversations with the manager,
sure.
My understanding is that really – you're the one that is more often talking
right.
with that person.
Right. And we do have an agenda setting meeting
mm-hmm.
With it's myself and the manager and the attorney and the clerk. And, of course, now the council can ask for certain things to be put on the agenda.
Right.
We do ask that if a council person brings up an item that they have a second. And, of course, the council can ask the clerk or the manager to prepare a resolution or an ordinance on such and such a subject. I do have a bigger role in the agenda setting.
Now, to parse that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
So a council member gets to ask for something to put on and mm-hmm. receive support from the council, essentially.
Right.
If you wish to have something on the agenda, you don't have to take it to the council.
I do not.
Right.
I do not have to either voice it at the council, or do I have to have a second?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So that's
right.
another little.
Yeah,
little
it is a
there.
Little bit more authoritative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I was also thinking about this early this morning as I was walking over to the studio, and I said, mm-hmm. "Well, this places you somewhere between the Queen of England and." I'm not sure what, as the face, literally, of mm-hmm. the city,
mm-hmm.
because the manager will appear and at various meetings and share some information about mm-hmm. what's happening.
Right.
But you appear at a lot, and I know this, I've seen you there, mm-hmm. At a lot of events.
I do.
And
all
you
right.
represent the city. Not so much to say what's happening
right.
About this particular trail improvement,
mm-hmm.
but
just to have the presence there, I mm-hmm. think, is important to the public so that they know that. Well, again, this is the way I've held in my leadership position is that they know that this is important to the community and that with the mayor being there. Whether it's myself or somebody else, that just reinforces that. And like you said, even without even saying anything, we don't need to say necessarily say
sure.
anything. We just need to be there to support, you know, a community event, a community activity.
Okay.
So.
Now there's a more legal aspect to this, though, too, because you get to practice signing things.
I do.
What yes. kind of things do you have to sign that you must sign to make them finished?
Okay. After the minutes have been adopted and approved by the city council at a meeting, then the clerk will sign those and I will sign those, and those go into the permanent record. I sign resolutions and ordinances. We recently sold some property for the Glen Highway expansion that the city of Palmer had out on the Glen Highway. Between Palmer and Colleen Street. And so I was responsible to sign that deed going to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation. So I signed those things. We just did honorary citizenship for the Japanese students and their advisors that were here. And those were proclamations. And so I signed those. We, you know, do a number of proclamations. Just for certain things, like all of the things that we did for the beautification awards, for the lawns, and for the businesses during Palmer Pride, which was held the end of July. I sign all of those. If we declare a week or a month in recognition of something, then those are prepared by either the clerk or by the city manager, and I sign those. Those are the things that come to my mind.
Sure.
Yeah, right away.
So here's a question. As you think back over your own career, education, life, what kinds of things, and this is maybe as a help to budding mayors of the future.
Sure.
What kind of things were most helpful in allowing you to be a mayor?
Well, you know, personally, my personal story was, you know, and so I got interested in government because when I went through the divorce, that was the best job I could find for a single mom with two kids.
All right.
And I found out that I just really enjoyed the government working. And so I think that that is important. The city of Palmer has a number of boards and commissions right now that we're advertising for positions, whether it's planning and zoning or the airport or parks and rec, you know, Board of Economic Development, all of those have positions that are available both for people inside the city as well as outside. And so if somebody is like, well, I don't know if I really, you know, I want to get that involved, say, as running for council, but this would get help, quote, get their feet a little bit wet. And of course, the borough has a lot of boards and commissions also, as well as the state of Alaska. So I would think that would, might be one thing. The other thing, of course, is to listen to your radio show that broadcasts our meetings, you know. And, of course, you need to know some parliamentary procedure. Our city clerk and city manager are very, and, of course, our attorney, are very skilled in all of those areas. But you need to know, you know, so whether you're chairman of the local PTA or Boy Scouts or, you know, just some kind of leadership role or at your church or, you know, some other community chamber of commerce or something where you have, quote, ran a meeting. So, like you said, you know, two hands go up, which hand do you, you know, and how long do you allow somebody to go on talking about a subject and how do you get them off of it so you can move on to the next person? So all of those things, I think, add up to it. And, of course, just a basically, and I think all, especially this year, all of our candidates have this, is just a love for our community and for Palmer and what they want to see and what they want to see continued in Palmer.
Well, I can say that my observation is that pretty much everyone that I note who has participated, whether it's one of those boards and commissions or on the council, has had something more of a commitment than is warranted by the amount of time it takes to do this. Because my guess is that most people who serve on the council, and we've already outlined some of your background work that you do.
Right.
But most people can't just walk in the door for the meeting and then when they walk out, leave it all behind. because government is complicated.
It is. Yes.
And that's one of the wake up calls I note when someone perhaps who has not been involved in government steps in, whether it's a board commission or the council,
right,
and realizes, oh, this is connected to that,
right,
which is connected to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't thought about those connections. And that's what makes things come back later on and prove to be, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that. So the process, which I can observe people thinking, well, this seems to be taking a long time as people talk about it, look at this part or that part, is very often warranted.
Right. Yeah, two things come to mind. One thing is right now our planning and zoning is looking at, in the city of Palmer, if B&B, bed and breakfasts, and well as the Airbnb, should be in RR1, which is single family, or if should they have to be in R2, which is our residential rental zoning. And so right now our local planning and zoning commission is wrestling with that. So again, like you said, that is something that, okay, well, now that's connected. We're going to write these words on this piece of paper, but then how is that going to affect certain areas in town that, quote, are R1, and the people there didn't expect there to be, quote, any rentals in that area, or you do. And so they're wrestling with that. The other thing, I think, like with Parks and Rec, all of us would like to have, I think, our trails in Palmer to be connected better, and, you know, the bike trails as well as the walking trails, and, you know, and again, expand on some of the running events that we have in Palmer so that they all have a good, clear path and when they map out the route. But that, of course, then jumps into the budget, which we now, this next month in October, will start to work on because we're on a calendar year. So then how much money do we allot for that? And, you know, is that going to be spent over a 2-year, 3-year, or 6-month period of time? Of course, there are some grants out there, but they want to be sure that we have a local buy-in. And so you're absolutely right. The planning and zoning is not an island to themselves, and they can say, well, I like the way these words go together, and this is what the city's going to have. Plus, they, of course, pass them on to the city council. We will then have some public hearings on that. So those are some current things that I think are before the council that will be decided.
Well, very good. And in particular, the mention of Airbnb and that kind of thing, which is fuzzy.
Yeah.
Back in the old days, you say this is a hotel or motel.
Right.
This is a rooming house. Okay.
Right.
But now we have, for example, I'm going off with my wife on a trip, and when we looked out there, we immediately looked at Airbnb as one. There are a number of different services.
Right.
And sure enough, we found a couple of locations that were really nice in people's homes with a process for validating that we were good people, that was a good place.
Right.
And we do this. But it's not the traditional way, which has all built up over time with regulations, et cetera, that place hotels and the rest. And that development of that sharing facilitated by technology so that you can actually go out there and do a quick search and make the contact and do all of that stuff seems to, be something that is worthy of attention, and I wish you well.
I'm sure, like anything else, there will be people that will be 100% satisfied, and those that will be 75% satisfied.
And do I remember an Uber-Lyft discussion? Is that?
Yes, of course, that has passed the state, and we had wanted to have, not to restrict that, but to have be sure that their insurance, know, for those that would operate within the city. And we had tried to get that changed on the state level, but it, in my opinion anyway, they were concerned if they gave the local, quote, local option that the Anchorage might put too much restriction on, because in Anchorage, of course, The taxis up to a year ago had sort of a monopoly, and those taxi licenses cost some money. You know, you just weren't able to buy a yellow car and put a sign on the top of your car and start down the road in Anchorage. So, but yeah, we've had some of those discussions also. But we so now the state sets those standards, and we have to abide by those. And
so, which brings up the question of how well Palmer plays with other entities, whether it's the borough or the city of Wasilla, or actually with Anchorage.
Sure. And
because we're not an island unto ourselves.
Right.
And as you pointed out, there are hierarchies in the state, or the federal government decides something that can overrule what is happening locally. That happens. What's your, since you've been involved in these kinds of processes for a long time, how do you feel Palmer sits there in relationship to other governmental entities that might have an effect on the city?
Right. And there are a lot of them that do, as just like we were just talking. Because Palmer is, quote, a home rule, so with that, we are allowed to do pretty much anything that's not against the state law or the borough law. But I think we have a good working relationship. As you know, Representative Johnson was a former mayor of Palmer, and so, you know, knows quite a bit about us. I think that really helps. The city of Palmer and city of Wasilla and city of Houston did have, and probably the dispute sort of still going on regarding the sales tax for, quote, education, whether they can dedicate that or not. That's a subject for another day. But we did have some, you know, we said, now listen, you know, you're going to add this. We're competing with Eagle River, which is, you know, 30 minutes away. They don't have a sales tax. So I think our dialogue is good. We do have a, quote, mayor's managers meeting that meets once a month, where all the mayors and the managers get together. We don't set any agenda things, but we just say, if they say, okay, like this, or even say with the plastic bag tax. As you know, the city of Wasilla, what the rumors I hear are that they are going to ban it. And I don't think that that's come up yet for a public hearing. I don't know if they meet next Monday.
I think the instruction, the instruction was to the mayor to put together a draft.
Right, yeah.
To work on.
Yeah. And so how then does that affect the borough? I mean, in my opinion, if Wasilla would completely ban, that would reduce greatly the amount of tax that the borough would receive for the plastic bags, because Wasilla's, quote, is the shopping center of the valley.
Sure.
And so there's give and take, you know. Hopefully we will all walk away that we realize there probably tomorrow's going to be an issue where we're all going to be together.
And of course, we keep looking at the state level, as you pointed out, there can be a state law that actually takes care of all of this, because the borough should... The cities of Wasilla, Houston, and Palmer say ban plastic bags, and presumably the borough does not have the legal authority to ban plastic bags.
Right.
What did they do?
Yeah, right, yeah.
I mean, because taxing would, as you rightly pointed out. So this
they might get $1,000 maybe. Would that be about all from the areas outside the city?
Started out by saying this business is complicated when you begin to try to play it all out. Well, I've asked a whole bunch of questions. We have a few minutes left before we finish today. Are there any other particular topics that we haven't hit upon that you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, as I briefly mentioned, right now is the time when we recruit for our boards and commissions.
Right.
So we welcome visitors to the listeners to take in. Go on the City of Palmer website. They can do it electronically. They can go into City Hall and pick up an application. There are some of the boards, like planning and zoning, you have to be a resident of Palmer.
Right.
Other boards, the other of the commissions and boards that we have, you can live either inside the city or and like on the airport, we have so many people that are public, meaning they don't really, outside of probably ride an airplane from time to time don't have an interest in the airport, but others that either have a business there or are our pilot or fly in and out. So I would just really encourage people to apply for those. And getting back to what you were saying earlier about, you know, how do you get to the mayor's position? Very seldom is somebody just elected in that position without doing things in the community, either government-wise or, you know, community-wise. So that's going on. We're getting ready to do our budget. And as I said, in October, the city manager will present his budget, and we'll go through a series of budget hearings, and we have to have it adopted by the middle of December. Right now, we're looking at our budget to be pretty well flat. I don't think we'll be adding any positions or deleting any positions or adding any new services. Our sales tax is our biggest contributor to our finances, and I think people do have a lot less spendable income. That, of course, then relates into what additional things they buy that are not on their grocery list when they go to the grocery store. And those things add up to the sales tax amount that we get in the city. And then just the recent event that we had on Saturday night where the community came together. And that just to me, is so typical of Palmer and Palmer community that we're just really a caring community.
It shows once again that Palmer isn't just an island, because the event itself, unfortunate death of five young girls, happened technically outside of Palmer in the Butte area.
Yeah.
Yet this vigil and service was held in Palmer, and the convenient location, and there were people from both, obviously, Palmer and the surrounding area.
That's right. And just encourage people to absentee ballots are now available starting this next week.
Right.
So encourage people to get out and vote. I think, as we said earlier, I think we have some good choices this year. So that hopefully will spur some of people to vote, maybe that don't. And now, of course, the people living inside the city of Palmer do not have a borough ballot this year, which is pretty unusual, because up to this time, we always at least had either a ballot question or a school board member. But now that the school board members are tied to the assembly districts, we don't have anybody that's running or vacancy this time. So, So those are the things that are coming up.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
And of course, Colony Christmas is coming.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's coming too.
Yeah.
Well, Mike Molesky and I've been delighted to have the opportunity to have a discussion with Edna DeVries, who's mayor of the city of Palmer. And we look forward to having you come back again soon.
Good. I look forward to it. And thank you again.
You're welcome.